We should probably start though.
Yeah, no, we should start. But wait, no, before we start, I have a question. Which theme song should we use?
Oh, look, someone actually press play. Well, thank you for joining us today on that podcast thing we do. We talk pop culture and we say we do it for you. That podcast thing we do. That podcast thing we do.
Oh shit. That's rowdy.
I'm yeah. So psyched for this. I've been waiting for this all week.
That's good. I am pumped too. It was a great movie. Like, I was like, whoa. I was like, I don't know. I was impressed, Richard. Crazy.
So we're starting now.
Yeah.
We're doing this. We're reviewing Everybody Wants Some.
Yes.
I am so excited.
It was a great movie. Like, I don't know. Everything I wanted from this movie was there. Except maybe... They probably should have played Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah, I knew you were going to complain about one of the songs.
Well, like, there's a couple other ones I could say, but that's like, it's the 80s, like, give me that song. Come on, dog.
Did it bother you that they played... By the way, guys, no spoilers right now.
Yeah. We will tell you.
Yeah, we will let you know. Yeah, but did it bother you that they play Gotta Have That Funk?
No.
No.
What did bother me? I think there was one. There was one that did. What's it called? My problem was that Another One Bites the Dust should have been louder.
Yes.
I was like, what the hell, man? You can't so quietly, I can barely hear it.
So, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
A very good place to start.
I think this movie, like, it started off really well because it didn't waste any time. It was just like, here we are, let's go.
And in a weird way, we did a Dazed and Confused in our last episode because Linklater claimed it, like, these were spiritual sequel. This was a spiritual sequel to both movies.
Yeah.
It really felt like it, didn't you think?
Oh, totally. The pacing is so Boyhood, while the actual, like, theme and every, like, just kind of the setting is so Dazed.
Exactly. Like, even
it was a wonderful marriage.
It was. Because I had no idea what to expect. I was expecting more Dazed than anything.
Yeah.
But I got this weird, beautiful third kind, which was like hybrid of both. And I was so pleasantly surprised, honestly.
I feel like it's kind of a mutation of just like the theme of the last moment in Boyhood. Like, mm-hmm. And I thought Boyhood, like, that was the theme they were trying to get to, I guess, but it felt like that's not the theme of the whole movie to me. It's just, like, kind of the ending note.
Yeah.
It's like that theme and the theme from Dazed had a baby, and that's what the theme of this movie is, stretched out.
And, you like the title card?
Yeah, I also really like the way they do, like, it's just, like... I don't think this is a spoiler. It's the 3 days before school starts, right?
Yeah, it's from when...
leading up to the first class.
Yeah, so the whole movie's set in the 80s, and it's from when our main character, Jake... Yep. You never get a last name. It's just Jake. And it's like when Jake moves in until classes start.
And, I thought it was done super well, because I was... I don't know, I was a little worried at first, because I was like... Because right when they did that... time card, I knew, I was like, here's the Boyhood pacing, we're gonna have like three sections, and like, I'm not huge on the way Boyhood is assembled, let's just say, like, we went over that, but with Everybody Wants Some, it felt a lot smoother to me. Like, it felt like it was also, in a weird way, it felt like it was going somewhere, where like, I feel like a lot of people are going to see this movie and be like, it didn't go anywhere, because that's what they say about Dazed and School of Rock and stuff. But, like, you know what I mean? The scene did feel like it was leading to the next one and the next one.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, well, that's what I found interesting about this compared to Dazed is when you, like, if you watch, even on your first watch of Dazed, by the time, like, when you watch Dazed, you, by the time you get to the end, you kind of figure out what the through line is.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't really have a through line. It's more abstract than both those films. There's no real through line, and I feel like that's why Linklater gives you that timestamp, so that you have something to latch on to.
Yeah, probably, because it's very, like, the conversation pieces of Dazed are, like, huge influence on this, I feel like, and the way they're cut together, and kind of, like, that's what this movie is more than, like, following Pink and the kid through Dazed, you know what I mean? You're not following... You're not even really following Jake as much as you're following the group of guys. Like, you only really follow him the last day. Like, I'm not going to go into it more because spoilers, but like...
Yeah, but yeah. You're just as much as part of the herd as this guy is.
Exactly. That's what he is, too. And I think that's where the strength in his performance comes, because he really does that well. Like,
just, like, blend in, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you needed here. He just does that perfectly. Like, it's not... His performance isn't too much at all, and that's wonderful. Because, like, with all the eccentric guys in this house, you kind of have to, like, if you're going to be part of the herd, you can't just have a whole bunch of people fighting for your attention. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you have to, but you can't have the characters fighting for attention in the script. That's just got to be, like, what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the thing. Like, also, keeping in line with the whole spiritual sequel to Boyhood thing, It's a movie about boys, right? I kind of told you this before you even went and watched the movie, right?
Yeah.
I told you it was a boys film.
I feel like that about most of his films, though, other than maybe, like, the Before trilogy, or the... Yeah, the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other than that, like, because School of Rock is about a boy. Dazed is kind of a boys film. Like, you get more of the girls in that than, I think, in his other films.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, like, he's kind of, I don't know, I think most guys just want to be boys, because it's, like, there's less responsibility, we're just shitty that way, and, like, Linklater's movies, they're definitely boys' films most of the time, I feel like, even in Before, it's, like, he cast Ethan Hawke, who's, like, a perpetual boy in his roles, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
But, yeah, no, but comparatively, Dazed felt more like a community film, you know? I mean, there isn't anything there for it, right there. Yeah, no,
like,
I mean...
It's a community piece. It's like a mosaic more days. Exactly. This is kind of like...
What'd you think of Zooey Deutch as the only female lead in the movie? Well, there's no lead, more of an ensemble, but still.
Not gonna lie, I didn't really care for the arc, but, like, mm-hmm. She's wonderful in the scenes she's in.
Mm-hmm. I
just didn't really care for the writing of what happened between them.
Yeah, no, I felt the same. I thought she was good with what she had, but that's the best I could really say about her in the film.
Yeah. I thought she was really, well, like, better than good with what she had. Terrific. But yeah, I wasn't huge on, yeah.
Thoughts on the soundtrack?
Good shit.
Yeah.
It's like, well, like, you know how I feel about Richard Link. Like, he's better with music to me than Tarantino is. Like, he's one of the guys on Scorsese's level where it's like, there's like five guys on that level and one of them's not even Tarantino, even though he kind of is. He's like the last one. That's the bar. You have to be better than Tarantino at soundtracks to make it to the Scorsese level.
Would you think they have a baseball montage in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because all the character, like the guy,
it's the baseball team.
Exactly, he moves into a house for the baseball team. What do you think of the baseball montage? Because I thought that was so old school. It felt
I found the sex montage even better because it was just like
the sex montage was good.
Like just the way it was shot, like. It was shot with such a weird, like he knew he was going to have to give it to you at some point because it's a college film. So he decided to throw it all together in one montage and he literally just like close-ups tits and close-ups whatever he's going to do. And it's like...
It's so wonderful because throughout the entire montage, I swear I could hear Linklater just giggling behind the camera.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's like... It's one of those, I don't know. Yeah, I also think.
I feel like he found the humor in it. It's just the way it was shot, you know?
Well, it's the way it's shot and it's the way it's edited. Like, he starts it and then he gets it over with right away. It's like, he's like, this is not what this film's about, but it's, I made a college film, so I'll give you this.
Not really spoilers, but there's that one moment where this guy, the main character, he's trying to get laid, but there's people in his room.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy just won't, the guy won't leave the room.
No, that guy's just a dick for no reason in that scene. Like, he actually seems alright in all the other scenes.
You know, actually, I actually kind of have a theory. I was thinking about that scene. I kind of figured out why he's a dick, though. Because he's fairly neutral. He becomes a dick when the main character calls him by that name everybody else makes him fun of.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's why he becomes a dick.
Yeah, maybe.
But I love, just like, as soon as the guy says, yeah, no, I'm not going to get out of the room, I love, I like, as soon as it cuts to, like, this guy and the girl in the car,
yeah.
Like, I heard, like, a guy behind me go, attaboy. you did good. Yeah, no.
You did good with what you had. You pulled a Zoe Dutch.
You made the old man proud.
Oh, man, there was, like, a 42-year-old guy behind me who kept kicking my seat. I just wanted to be like, what are you, six?
He's excited, man.
Like, what the... There's literally, like, 30 people in the whole theater, and this guy has to sit behind me and kick the seat.
Man. Reminds him of his days.
It was a good movie, though. Like, every scene with Wyatt Russell was wonderful. Willoughby is...
Wyatt Russell as Willoughby was just... A revelation. Well, he's so easy to watch.
The guy, the guy looks like Blake Anderson. I don't like that guy either. I don't like him. Yeah.
Yeah. No. There's some really colorful characters in this. There's
the guy who
the pitcher,
Jay Niles.
Yeah, yeah. The crazy pitcher.
Yeah, Jay Niles.
Yeah. That. What'd you think of him? Did you notice the really obvious Coke necklace he had around his neck?
No, I didn't. That makes sense.
You didn't. Like, oh man, if I honestly thought if anybody would notice it, it would be you.
That makes so much sense, man. I was too busy. Every time he came on screen, I was literally just like, what the fuck? Like, literally, people were laughing, and I was just like, what is happening?
He just say something funny?
Pretty much. That's what. Except, yeah, okay. Like, I was. No, every single time I was just like, what the fuck?
Like, I didn't, like, I honest to God, I don't blame you. First two scenes I saw him in, I was like, who is this guy? What is he doing? But then I think third time I saw him, I saw the thing around his neck. I was like, there you go. Freaking Linklater never tells you, but it's there. It's right there, man. Every shot, even in the club, it's got a Coke necklace.
He's obviously a fan of the Coke. Makes so much sense, though. Like, my favorite is when he runs home, though. Ah, that's a spoiler. I just spoiled Jay Niles. But then again, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we pretty much did like spoilers on that level already.
I thought we were pretty good. Should we just switch to spoilers now? Because like, we really don't have. We've already given our non-spoiler review for the most part. It's a really good movie. It's A Marriage of Dazed and Boyhood. It's wonderful.
Willoughby will change your life.
All right, so spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, guys, spoilers, all right?
Okay, so, when he ran home, I was losing my shit. Just the whole sequence outside of that club when he's just like...
When he gets them kicked out of the club, right?
Yeah, and he's like, they're like, where to next? And they decide, and then he's like...
Yeah, I'm coming with!
Yeah, and they're like, you're not coming with, you're going home. And he's like, okay. He's like, whatever, man. I get it. I'll work out, I'll do it. I'll do some abs, I'll come back looking great. Matter of fact, I'll run home. And he just starts running. I was like, Linklater took... the craziness of Ben Affleck and just ran with it. He's like Ben Affleck's character from Dave.
Oh, so you thought he was like you thought he was an O'Banion knockoff.
I thought he was this crazy mutation of O'Banion. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
O'Banion was the 90s version of that character. Nowadays in 2016, people are weird.
Yeah.
And, like, in the 80s, people were weird. And Jay Niles is that guy. He's just the evolution of O'Banion.
I just love that whole scene where he's like, sorry, I went all raw dog, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, even when he's talking to the chick and she's like, you know, they call me raw, or he's like, you know, they call me raw dog, right?
And she walks away.
And she walks off and he's like, it's because I'm a raw dog. Well, actually, better than everything is when he jumps off the tree when he's diving.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just pull the shorts down.
Yeah, that was the one that got me. I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, okay. But every time he talks, I was just like, what the fuck?
What'd you think of the guy who played McReynolds, that really good baseball player?
Yeah, he was good. He's actually, like, my third favorite character.
I thought he was fantastic. First of all, I don't know how Linklater did it. Like, I'm sure it's easy, but... that just that whole shot of the guy like cutting that baseball in half with the axe was great.
Yeah, I was like, "What the freaking guy?"
He did it twice too.
Yeah,
what director would have given you that twice? Linklater's like, "That was pretty cool. I'll do it again."
Yeah, pretty much. Like that guy's just really good. I don't know.
Yeah, he was great. I just like you see the contrast of him in that scene where he's playing table tennis with Jake.
Yeah.
And you just know he's gonna fly off the handle. Like, you already know this. Because he already starts off hating Jake, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see him lose his shit. And Akash actually had this really... He was like, you can see how different he is when he's on the diamond compared to when he's at home.
Yeah.
And it's true, because when he's on the diamond... or like
he's
when,
chill, yeah.
He's cool as a cucumber, you know? Even yeah. when the guy who's, like, hooked on coke, like Niles, when Niles is going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. He's just like, okay, Niles.
Yeah, do your best. Whatever.
Yeah, and then he hits it out of the park, and then he's like, okay, Niles, keep talking.
One of my favorite moments, actually, was just when he, like, Jake's pitching, he lets him get a strike, and he goes, make that 2-0.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And then he just whacks that next one. I thought every scene with him was just great.
Totally. He was wonderful in everything he was in. He was just another guy. I was like, I could have seen him more.
Mm-hmm. Even like just like Glenn Powell as Finnegan, like just great. Every scene Glenn Powell
Finnegan,
was in.
That guy, I think he was he felt like the main character to me in terms of like not the main character of the movie, but like kind of the protagonist. You know what I mean? He was like the guy leading shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Kind of like Pink in the Dazed. You know.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Like yeah. Wiley Wiggins is the main character, but Pink's the protagonist. Exactly. Just like yeah. that. Yeah. Like he was. I thought that guy was wonderful. I didn't like that he kind of freaks out more to the end. You know what I mean? He kind like I just didn't feel like it was consistent character wise. Maybe, but like. I don't know.
Dude, but his freak out kind of made sense because he's one of the senior members.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's seen just like all kinds of like freshmen and like college people and just trying to like get through to the new guys.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Like, I see the point in it. It's just not where I've
come. Yeah, no. It's like I'm glad they gave him another scene towards the end because I kind of wanted to see like a better button on his character.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting to see him like applaud Jake. During the yeah. kiss at the end was just good enough for me.
Yeah, oh, totally. I was glad to see him again at the end, too. I was glad they let the good times roll, though, too. But seriously, that guy who's in the class with him at the end, I really wanted to punch that guy the entire time. Like, so bad. I was like, somebody smack this guy.
Who was it at the end with him?
The weird guy who looks like he's related to Dave Franco.
Oh, yeah, that
the
was
guy
him.
Was like, cats shouldn't be in fridges. Like, that was yeah, the best yeah. thing he did, though.
Wait, I really want to talk to you. You're going to punch me. One of my favorite scene in the movie, right now. I really want to watch this movie again, but my favorite one in the movie right now has to be when they sing Rapper's Delight in the car. I love it. It's so...
It was a good scene. I was glad it was one of the first ones, too. I thought it, like, it was a good scene to show... I don't know, it was definitely a good scene. It wasn't close to my favorite, but it was a good one.
It was one of my favorite in the movie. It was a good... I thought it was a really good scene, because it was one of those things where you were watching it, and you were, like, you were kind of having fun, but then, like, it, like, the longer it went, the more slightly awkward it got. And that's when, like, I was like, of course a group of white guys in the 80s are rapping to Rapper's Delight. Of course. It makes sense. It's so wonderfully awkward.
Okay, my favorite scene is actually when they drive by those girls' houses at the start and they honk the horn and they're like, ladies, and they like sing it like musical theory. And then the chicks just turn around and go, fuck off, faggots. I was like, I lost my shit.
There's also that scene where they try to hit on Zooey Deutch and her friend in the beginning.
Yeah,
and there's that wonderful shot of you just hear them talking to each other, and it's just the
as
car,
they drive around. Yeah,
yeah, the car's going around the parking lot because they're going to take another shot of the girls by switching seats. I thought that was great too.
That was
a great shot too, in my opinion. I thought that was like, you know how in Days you get that shot of the mirror and you see the cars in the mirror in the gas station and you see the cars driving by.
Totally.
It kind of reminded me of that. I was like...
And the overhead ones of the party, kind yes, of, to me. Exactly. Yeah, like, what was I going to say? Oh, crap. I had something. I think it was something good, too.
Dazed. Parties. Singing. No, rappers
no,
light,
no, no.
Girls?
Don't say things.
I'm tracking back.
Don't track. Actually say things. I think I lost it.
Like, was it around when they say fuck off, faggots?
No, no, no.
Parking lot?
Oh, yeah, it was the parking lot. My favorite part of the whole parking lot exchange was actually when he makes them stop, too, and they're like, this just went from cute to stalker, and he's like, just fucking do it, man. That being said, like, I know, like, all the Be Yourself stuff with the punk group was great, too,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't care for that too much. Like, I cared more for, what's his name? Not Wyatt Russell. Who's the other guy I like again? The
Finnegan.
Finnegan?
Glenn Powell as Finnegan, yeah.
I like that during the punk thing, he was like, you know how they were like, this is kind of weird, like Coma was the whole time, he's like, this is weird, the chubbier guy.
Yeah.
And then Finnegan's just like, whatever, man, it's chill. Like, do what you want, Jake.
Yeah.
But like, I couldn't stand those punk guys that he was like with. And I love punk stuff, but I was like, this guy's the worst.
Oh yeah, the guy who looked like he was on meth?
Well, the guy who had freaking anarchy thing on his
yeah.
I loved the punk rock rendition of Gilligan's Island theme song though too, because like
yes.
the callback to Gilligan's Island was nuts, and the fact that they did it punk rock was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It I don't know, it kind of, there's this is more early 80s, right?
Yeah, it's like 81, I think.
Yeah, so there's still that feeling, there's still that 70s feel to it, kind of like how Wayne's World, even though it's set in the 90s, feels 80s.
Well, it's like, yeah, there's always a hangover. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like exactly. the 90s ended until, like, 95, man. Like, it took, not even, it took, like, Rodney King happening in 94, and then people were like, we gotta wake up, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like 94, especially when you got cell phones, is when, like, things
but, like,
started to get
in the 80s, too, like, I feel like in, like, honestly, from, like, 1976, 77 to, like, 1982, 83, it's just all the same. It's not even 70s or 80s. It's this weird, like, genre of its own.
Also, while we were on the punk thing, I wanted to ask you, what'd you think of that? It's not really the premise of the film, but as we go along, in a weird way, the premise of the film... You have these guys experience so many different parts of pop culture at the time.
Yeah.
Right? Because
well, it was like...
They go to a country party, they go to an art, like a art part, like an artsy party, they go to a punk rock party.
Yeah, totally.
Punk rock concert, they go to a disco. What'd you think of that? Like,
well, I think if you're doing that time period especially, like, you have to do that, because it's like, what were the 70s if not a time when everything went, so, 80s. Like, everything was happening. Well, like I said, it's kind of like
hangover.
That weird mutation
yeah.
of late 70s, early 80s,
mm-hmm.
and, like, in that time, I think, yeah, everything was happening, you know what I mean? So it was like, you kind of had to, otherwise it wouldn't have, like, felt super real. Like, I think that is part of what the movie's doing, too, yeah, is it's like, look how much... time has changed in only like what 10 years. Like Dazed is like not even Dazed is like 1976, isn't it?
Yeah,
Dazed so it's like 5 years.
Yeah,
and it's literally like 5 years too, like for Wiley Wiggins in 5 years he's going to be going to college.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of what the movie was, is like, how look how much it changed so quickly. And I think that's why like Dazed actually, no, I think that's why everybody wants some has the the like 3 day kind of thing too, where it's like, look at how much Jake changes over these 3 days, and look how much this group changes over these 3 days. Like, by the end of it, they kind of put up with Jay Niles even more, even though he's freaking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually interesting, because how I saw the movie was, here are the ingredients for, like, the next 4 years of this guy's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all the factors.
Yeah.
And this is how they're set up. And so the whole movie is just telling you, all right, now you guys saw the setup, we'll just have to see how this goes now, you know? Like, and that's how the movie ends.
Uh-huh.
But the way you say it sounds, it's more interesting, because the way you're saying is that those 3 days itself, you're saying just those 3 days are the story.
Well, yeah, because you also didn't feel like there was much of a through line, right?
No. And
I actually felt like there was more of a through line than Boyhood by Miles. Like,
definitely. I mean, like, Boyhood, the through line was in the title, really. There wasn't really anything else.
Yeah. And I think it comes with, like, I don't know, even, like, Wolf and Casino and stuff, too. Like, the movies I like, a lot of people are like, they're not really, like, not much happens. You know what I mean? It doesn't really evolve much.
Yeah.
And I think, like, yeah, with this movie, like, I actually didn't feel like there wasn't a through line. I felt like there was less of a through line when I saw Inherent Vice the first time than this, actually.
Okay.
And I felt like it was jumbled around, and thematically it was kind of all over the... Well, not all over the place, but, like, it deals with theme in a way we're not used to. Instead of, like, nailing it down and being succinct, it's like, you know, we'll come back to this, and then we'll talk about this, and then we'll go back to that. And it's like, you know, it's like the Wyatt Russell character.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like stoned and thrown off that way. And yeah, like, I didn't feel like there wasn't a through line, but I definitely felt like it was a lot more juggled than stories. You know what I mean? So I see why you felt like there wasn't a through line.
I mean, there is a through line. Like I said, the time stamp and everything kind of establishes a through line for the audience.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, I didn't think there was actually a through line in the story, which is why I think, in a weird way, this movie is gonna hold up to a rewatch, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. But, yeah, like I said, I'm still kind of on the other side, where it's like, I felt like, I don't know, like, I feel like it actually even has at least as much of a through line as Dazed, because, like, Dazed, I don't know, to me the through line is, like, they just want to get shit-faced, and then eventually they do. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the through line for that story. And for this, I thought there was kind of a through line where Jake, like, when you first meet him, there's a reason they call him the quiet guy. Like, they draw attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, he's totally not. You know what I mean? Like, even when he's sitting down, he just goes to sleep in class. He's slouched over a chair. He's loud in the hall before he goes into class. He's
yeah,
like,
but does that mean he's not the quiet guy, or is it just because the story is focusing
more on... No, I don't
think
that it. I just mean, I wasn't done. He's just kind of more comfortable.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that was the through line, was really, like, you know what I mean? Because the whole time,
just
right
from
the
start... Just coming out of his shell kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's why I thought, like, I didn't feel like it was... Like, I see exactly what you mean, and I do feel like it is the setup.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes the setup is the story, and I think it was a full story where he did come out of his shell, and it's like, now he can be, you know, now he can be...
Which works great with the premise of the movie, because that's...
Being a spiritual sequel to Dazed, that's literally what Dazed is all about for Wiley Wiggins, you know what I mean? It's like, one day he might be able to be pink now that he's comfortable.
It's funny actually, going back, we keep going back to Dazed, and we're actually going to talk more about Dazed.
Yeah, let's compare the two at the end.
Well, we can't resist, can we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that you brought that up, too, because I think that's a thing about these movies, is both of them really show the dichotomy. Like, it's like, the whole time they're like, oh, be more comfortable, but then they're like, you're not the big shot, though. But that's the thing. It's also like, that's a thing you have to realize is in life, is you don't have to be the big shot to be comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, once you... Dude, I think you forgot. The only freaking university slash secondary school experience I had was like art school, man. I don't relate to any of this. Like, I have no clue. Also, I'm loud enough that everybody in the art school heard me every time I talked, so they definitely knew who I was. Well, you learn something every day.
Yeah, no, that's how
I also learned Jay Niles was a cokehead. How did I not see that?
Yeah, how did you not see that? I'm so surprised you of all people did not see
okay, that. Okay, but I was kind of mad that he just didn't bring up AIDS, bringing up that this is the 80s. Like, I was like...
Maybe that's a good thing.
No, I was like, where's the AIDS? That's what I said when the movie finished. I stood up in the theater and I was like, where's the AIDS? And Dan Nichols knew it was me, so he's like, are you in... Somebody just talked about AIDS in the Everybody Wants Some Theater. Is that you? I was like, definitely. Dude, I still don't think there was much... Like, I think there were some scenes where some dialogue was written, but I don't... Like, I think this movie was kind of like... I think it was more of like a treatment sort of thing. You know what I mean? Because that's how a lot of Boyhood was done. Like, they would meet up and then talk to each other and be like, okay, this is what we're doing. And I don't think it was that way, like, where every time they'd be like, okay, what should we do next? I think Linklater had the story, but I don't think he had a concrete script, like, just the way it's done.
Makes sense, actually. I was reading an interview with these guys who were on the movie together, right? And
yeah.
And they're talking about how, basically, the way they shot it was they all just stayed in Link, like, for the... I think first week before shooting, they all just stayed at Linklater's ranch together, all of them.
That's so chill.
And they all, exactly, they all shared the same room. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they improvised lines, especially considering a lot of the actors on the movie are really experienced theater actors.
Oh, totally.
Like the guy who plays Jay Niles, Justin Street, he's really good in theater. He's really big in theater.
Jay Niles? What the fuck, though? That's all I have to like that. I can't believe I didn't know that too, because every single scene that guy reaches for the stars, like, he takes it so much farther. Like, that's why every single time I actually felt uncomfortable. Like, that's why I couldn't laugh. I was just like, I was like, what the fuck, man? You're ruining my vibe, man. Jay Niles, stop.
Did you find that the circle scene in this movie kind of had the same vibe as, like, the scene in Dazed where they're buying pot from the guy?
I didn't think about that. But I love those circle scenes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Wyatt
Russell just gets monologues, and it's like, that's great. And, like, that guy wanted to punch in the face at the one, he's like, when they try and do the telepathy. He's like...
Tails.
Yeah, he's like... I thought, what if you had a tail? And he's like, no, I was thinking about sharks. And he's like, sharks have tails. And Wyatt Russell's like, good point. That got me.
All right, so do you want to... You wanna do Everybody Wants Some versus Dazed?
Sure. You should start it off, though, because I have no clue where to start that.
Alright, let's start with the opening song. Thoughts on My Sharona versus Sweet Emotion. What'd you think of My Sharona as the opening song, by the way?
It was perfect for an 80s movie. Like, it's definitely not my jam, but, like, I don't know, I'd probably dance to it if I was drunk. So, like...
I was kind of expecting something a little less obvious, but... I thought
I was not! If you make an 80s movie and it's not... Like, that's the thing, this movie is less obvious, like... Nowadays, all 80s stuff is so over the top, but this one's just kind of like you're there experiencing it with them for the first time. Like, even Rapper's Delight, I actually didn't get the awkwardness in that scene. I did see a bunch of white dudes, like, rapping it and thought about that. I was like, oh, these white dudes are rapping Rapper's Delight. But I never felt like the scene was awkwardness. Like, I actually thought the camaraderie just built as the scene went.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, it was... I think it was due to the fact that, like, it treats it as if you are experiencing it all for the first time. It's not like, hey, here's the 80s that you've seen a million times before. It's like, here's the 80s that you've seen a million times before, but, like, imagine if you hadn't. And that's what I think My Sharona, like, it's definitely super 80s, but it's also, like, you know what I mean? He's just playing it in a stereo. Like, it's kind of like... the choice of diegetic music made it subdued enough that I'm like, yeah, good choice. But, like, I don't know. I'm definitely more for sweet emotion. But that being said, like I said, the subdued choice of actually playing it from his stereo, like, if he had played it just as a soundtrack song, the way Sweet Emotion is, because,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you see the cars, but it's not playing from someone's stereo in Days. If they had done My Sharona like that, I would have been like, what the fuck, man?
No, it was great, though, because I was thinking about it, and it set the tone perfectly, you know? It had the energy and everything. It also kind of, like, makes fun of, you know how you have, you know how in every movie when, like, school's starting, you hear the bell ring, and there's usually, like, a drum beat, and there's, like...
Oh, totally, like, the kick, like that.
Yeah, exactly, and this kind of felt like that, like a weird jab at that. So I don't know. I was expecting something different, but I wasn't disappointed, really.
I had no expectations of this movie, so
really?
I wanted it to be good, but, like, I didn't expect him to do anything for us. So, like, the one thing was I knew Van Halen would get mentioned, and he did it so much better than I thought he would.
In the title?
No, not even that. Like, when the guy's complaining about music nowadays, and he's like, four guys in spandex jerking each other off on stage is not music. And the guy's like, I don't know, I kind of like Van Halen. And I just lost my shit. It's like, you don't even know they're talking about Van Halen when you join that conversation.
How'd you like the soundtrack, though?
Yeah, I don't think there's any Richard Linklater soundtrack that hasn't been on par so far, though. Like, School of Rock, Days, this, like, even Boyhood, like, it's, I don't know. It's all good.
I don't know. I don't know the Boyhood soundtrack. What's on the Boyhood soundtrack?
I don't know. It starts with Coldplay, Yellow. And then it's just all the stuff you would hear from then to now.
It does start with Yellow, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's everything you would hear from then to now. Like, it's like, just imagine 2005 to now.
Okay.
And then imagine Top 40. And that's the soundtrack. Well, think about it. That's what Linklater soundtracks all really are. Like... If Everybody Wants Some was not top 40 songs from the 80s, then I don't know what the hell was top 40 songs from the
80s. It's funny, was it Akash pointed that out?
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you guys who have been listening so far, not Rajan's.
There's two Akashes.
There are two Akashes. It's not Rajan's brother.
Both imaginary, though.
They are. Like, one's my friend. The one I'm talking about is my friend. He's my imaginary friend, Akash.
I built mine out of corpse parts I stole from the cemetery up the street from me.
That's not a cemetery, Rajan. That's a house. I keep telling you.
There is a cemetery. My elementary school was next to a cemetery, and I steal body parts from there all the time. Sell them on the black market.
Okay. As long as you're not just walking into somebody else's house and stealing body parts.
No. I make sure they're dead first.
Okay. Yeah, but so Akash was telling
me, I'm harvesting kidneys.
Akash was like, man, the songs were like just super popular 80s songs. And I was like,
what people listen to in the 80s, totally.
I was like, dude, think about the songs we listen to at parties. Are they really any different?
Yeah, look at Dazed and Confused too. It's, once again, you get like Sweet Emotion, you got Slow Ride by Foghat. It's all top four. I'm so sorry. I don't know what the hell happened there. Just closed the bubble out of nowhere.
No worries.
So, like, you can just hit record again? Or...
I already started. No worries.
Okay, cool.
So Willoughby...
I didn't love the last, like, scene, the way it's dealt with, but they nailed exactly what they did with him, too. You know what I mean? Where I would have, like, I thought they kind of sidestepped it by, like... Even not showing those guys just go to the house and try and find him and he's gone, you know what I mean? Like, having them tell the guys, I didn't really love, but then again, I think it felt a little crass. Yeah, but, yeah. Well, not even crass as much as just, like...
Insensitive?
Not insensitive either. It just felt like it wasn't given the weight it deserved.
Yeah, okay. I agree. Because
His last line is so wonderful, though, so I'm okay with it. Because, like, when he's, like, here for a good time, not for a long time.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's a perfect last line. Because, like, once he talked to the coach, I was like, he's definitely not coming back. I was so mad already.
And I thought his story arc was so... It was just so honest, you know?
Oh yeah, I love his arc. I just like even the ending. I like the note. I just felt like it could have been done with a little more care, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Because the way it's shot, it kind of sides with the guys in the fact that like these guys just think he's some weird guy, weird 30-year-old. But the fact is, the guy's just doing what he likes. He just signs up to a different college.
Well, I think that's the thing, because I think by the end of it, too, Finnegan's like, oh, whatever, that's kind of life, though, isn't it? He's playing ball. And, like, I think that's kind of them realizing, like, yeah, they're like, that's pretty weird, but I think they were like, whatever.
Yeah.
They were like, that's all.
Which is why I'm kind of glad they at least had one character say, like, oh, you know what, the guy just maybe really wanted to play ball. And
totally.
I was like, that's kind of what fixed the, the lack of sensitivity in the previous scene for me.
Maybe. I was just also like, they did the perfect ending. Like, if they had just came to the house and he's gone and they walk into the room and it's just Pink Floyd album on the floor in his room with a giant joint on it, it's like, that's the perfect Willoughby ending.
I know!
Like, you don't need him to show up in another scene. It's just like, why did they have to tell us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Like, everybody. Well, like, what do you think about, like, the through line difference? Like, because you definitely feel like this one has less of a through line, right?
I think this movie is more abstract, really, compared to Dazed or Boyhood. Because, for the most part, the movie brings you in with so much information to catch up on. Mm-hmm. And it also leaves you with so many...
This one? I actually didn't feel like there was any information we needed to catch up on. Like I said, I thought it just shot you right into it, and it was like...
No, but, like, there was just such... Every character had, like, a really rich backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nearly every character, because you had characters who had spent 3 years in that university, and you had characters who were just coming in, you know?
Yeah.
You even had Buter, that, his Jake's roommate... who was dealing with, like, who had a girlfriend and, like, she was possibly pregnant or, like, just scaring him.
A pregnancy scare.
Exactly. Huh? So you had all, I don't know, and so you just had, the characters were so rich, and the movie also left you with so many questions unanswered, which, again, I'm all for. I actually really enjoyed that, because, like I said, I saw the movie as a setup to something bigger, you know?
Yeah, I didn't really, like, I definitely agree it's more abstract than Dazed.
Mm.
I don't feel that way about Boyhood at all. I thought Boyhood was way more abstract. Yeah, like, I didn't have many unanswered questions. For me, it was like, it kind of just felt like a roll with it movie, you know what I mean? Where I didn't, like, I don't even feel like the characters were much richer than Dazed, actually. Like, I feel like they definitely have their backstories and they're varied.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just felt like this movie was a little more stream of consciousness, I guess, if that makes any sense. Kind of like
Waking Life?
Yeah, kind of. But, like, more just like, I guess, more like a Can song.
Okay.
It's like a jam on the stuff. Like, I feel like they had a really concrete plan that they could just jam on and riff on, so it feels a little more abstract. Like, I definitely think the dialogue's more abstract than most of his stuff, but I think it's a super straightforward story, and I think, like, you might be reading too much into it if you have too many questions, you know what I mean?
Like, really? You think so?
Well,
I mean, I agree, the story is simple. It's a really simple story.
Because, like, what are your questions?
Not more like questions, just unfinished sentences, you know? Like, I found myself wanting more. I wanted to know more about Zoe Dutch's character.
Yeah,
I
didn't feel like that was, like, an unanswered question as much as just, like, they didn't really have an arc. It was just, like, you knew about her at the start, and then at the end, it just picks up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I didn't really have an unanswered question. I guess, like, I had one, and it was, like, what's gonna happen with Finnegan? He just had, like, a freak out at an art party about, like, being unappreciated. Like, he just had a really... Like, it was, like, you could tell he's cracking under the pressure of, like, You know how Jake says the stuff about how, like, they change all the time just to meet chicks?
Yeah.
And he's always like, it's cool, but, like, when he has that freak out, to me, it felt like him freaking out about that, too, you know what I mean? He's like, I'm graduating, I don't know who I am, I changed so much. And also, all this stuff kind of pent up. Yeah, like, that was the only one that really felt unfinished to me.
Fair enough. I just thought there was less of a closure in this movie than there was in Dazed.
I can see that, because Dazed is like... Dazed,
and I'm not saying it's unsatisfying because of that, because that's far from the truth.
Yeah.
There just is less of a closure.
Like, this definitely I agree with more than the last kind of point, because I totally feel that, because Dazed lays out the closure, too. Instead of closure here, you kind of just get him finally talking to Zoe Dutch. Like, that's the difference, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the point of Dazed, when they're closing up the party and everybody's going home, he's like on a raft with Zoe Dutch, and he's like, I like you too, kind of.
I mean, like, honest, it's funny, because I was watching, yeah, I mean, you're right, their arc was just not that good.
Yeah, like, it was... Yeah.
Because I was even rewatching Before Sunrise.
Yeah.
Which, oh my god, the writing.
Yeah, but that's just a masterful, like, romance. Yeah. Like, that's some of his best writing ever, I think, Linklater.
Seriously, the writing on that is so good. And, like, their conversation, like, none of their conversations were nearly as interesting as any of the conversations in Before Sunrise.
Well, I think the thing is, like, Linklater's a different guy than he is in Before Sunrise, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a father, and he's appreciating the simple things, like, Boyhood literally ended with super pretentious talk about the moment being now that doesn't really mean anything at all.
But the moment is now.
Exactly. And that's kind of what this movie is too, you know what I mean? It's chill in that way. It's just appreciating the good. Like, it, that's what I feel like. I think this movie didn't have many questions overall, so I think that's why I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, apart from the whole Zoe Dutch thing, the only other thing that really bothered me in the movie was, you know, there's this wonderful montage of everybody, like, playing games with each other around the house.
Yeah.
And it's right after the whole table tennis thing.
Yeah.
Table tennis scene. And it's a cool montage, you know, because everything's there visually. But then you get Jake actually spelling it out loud.
Yeah.
To Finnegan by saying, you ever notice how everything in this house is a competition?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I was like, no. You should have just left that there, you know?
Yeah, maybe, but, like,
that
I don't know.
That was honestly one of the only scenes where I thought I was like, that's a little weak, but...
I guess, but, like, think about it this way. If you have a bunch of questions, there's people that don't even know Linklater that much who are seeing this movie, so, like, yeah, they're gonna have so many questions. Like, I think he had to kind of lay it out like that.
Kind of like the timestamp, right?
Yeah, and it's just like, exactly. Because, like, I don't think Linklater did the timestamp because of a through line for, like, his story. Like, I think he knew what the story was about and didn't care about that. But he's like, nobody's, you know, like, most people are going to be like, okay, where is this through line?
Yeah, exactly. No, that like, it's like we said initially, it's for the audience to latch onto.
Exactly. Well, even producers, too. Like, I think Linklater's so chill at this point. I think he, like, honestly, if he could just do whatever, like, well, not if he could do whatever he wanted. If he could have gotten this funded right away, like, I think he wouldn't have had timestamps or anything. It just would have been, like, 3 days. We would have just chilled. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like he tried to make this movie even more accessible because he had to fight for the funding. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Finnegan versus Wooderson?
I think Wooderson, like, although Slater and what's-his-name are stoners, I would actually compare Wooderson and Willoughby more.
Willoughby, yeah, I figured you would.
Compare Finnegan to, you know, Sasha Jensen's character, the guy in the overalls who kind of teaches Wiley Wiggins how to talk to girls in Days. That's kind of what I saw Finnegan as, but, like, he obviously has more Wooderson in him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, I saw him a little bit more like that. And I saw Willoughby as, like, Slater slash
Wooderson.
Yeah. I don't know, Linklater's, he's more eclectic as he gets older.
Yeah, no, I mean, I never know what to expect from him, so he's always fun to watch out for.
He really is, like...
Okay, and, so... And you've already said that you liked Let the Good Times Roll better than Slow Ride.
Definitely. Definitely. A million times better. Thank you, Rick. Like, you made up for it, I guess. I'm still a little disappointed, but, you know...
Also, last note, full points for cinematography.
Full points for the kid falling asleep in his first class. That's full points. And then go and let the good times roll. What a wonderful ending. Like, actually, I've never been more delighted with the last scene without being like... Yeah, just in terms of actually, like, the one word, think of the definition delighted.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I was. Like, I've never been that delighted with the last scene. Like, that was the most enjoyable cinema watching experience I've had in a long time. Wolf is the only one that's topped it in a long time.
Man. I kind of know what you mean, because I, honest to God, I walked out of the theater, and we were supposed to record this a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I walked out of the theater going, I want to watch this again, because we're recording this weekend. I need to watch this at least 3 more times. Yeah. I didn't, but I really want to.
I'm blaming Rick for that week, man. Why did the movie come out in Vancouver like a week later? What the hell? Yesterday was second day.
Yeah, it came out in Toronto on the 1st.
We didn't get it till like the 8th. What is this?
But honestly, I definitely want to watch this movie again. I don't know about you, but...
Oh, I definitely want to see it again. And again after that.
is that... So, like, I don't know. How do you...
Just cut it after I said, let the good times roll.
Well, I guess that's our Everybody Wants Some episode.
Yeah, I gotta get ready to go see this Hardcore Henry thing.
Oh, yeah, alright.
Don't worry, we can still talk, though, because, like...
You should tell me how that is, by the way, after you're done.
I hope I don't get a migraine. So how are things, then?
Well, you want to sign out?
Well,
I don't really want to sign out. This isn't a radio show.
I don't know.
Alright. Well, I guess... Well, guys, we have no idea how to end this, so I guess we're just going to say thanks
for...
Well,
we're just going to end it the way the movie ended and just kind of ramble on until the good times roll.
No, we're just going to fall asleep, and hopefully somebody's going to play the good times roll at the end of this.
Hopefully, exactly.
No, seriously, thanks for listening to our Everybody Wants Some review. Hope you guys like it. Like and subscribe.
I hope you consider it a review.
Yeah, I hope so too. I was gonna argue it's a pretty decent episode, but I was like,
I like to call it a non-visual video essay on Everybody Wants Some.
Yes.
It's all one sentence, just broken up with commas. Just one run-on sentence. Oh, no. That's a good way to describe the film, actually.
One big good run-on sentence.
Yeah, like one sick-ass run-on sentence.
That's actually great. Okay, so Everybody Wants Some. Please check it out. It's one sick-ass
run-on sentence.
One sick-ass run-on sentence.
Do it for Rick Linklater.
Yes. Please check out it. Please go check out this film. It's really good. We promise you won't be disappointed. If you are, that's your fault.
I'm not going to promise anything. Okay? Don't. I'm not trying to get sued.
If you're disappointed, it's not our fault. Movies are subjective.
Yeah. But if you're not, then we definitely told you so. Objective facts coming straight from the dome, as always.
Yeah, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast thing we do. Until next time.